Good morning. Welcome to Youth Sunday. Please join with me in the call to worship found in your bulletins. Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock."
We will open the door and answer the call.
Will we open the door to love and justice?
We will seek ways to express the presence of God in all places at all times.
We gather here to remind ourselves and each other that God is everywhere. God is in all places, in all actions, in all places, and in all circumstances.
We see God and we expect to find God. We must open our hearts. To see God everywhere, we must humble our hearts. Through Jesus, we humbly come before our God with our hearts and minds wide open.
Let us pray. Dear God, as we gather here today, we ask your presence to be with us. Help us to be remembered that all you have given us, all the resources that we need to live on. Give us the wisdom to use them effectively and efficiently. Remind us that happiness comes not in the products that we buy, but in love we find in friends, family, and the natural world that you have given us. This we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to South Park Congregational Church. Today is Youth Sunday, a day that we set aside for the youth to lead all aspects of the worship service, and we thank you all for being here. We would also like to thank Philip for helping us with all our music. At this time, please take a moment to sign the friendship register found in the outside pew and pass it along to your neighbor. Then be sure to greet one another either here in the sanctuary or in Fellowship Hall after the service. This 174th annual meeting of our church will be held on Sunday, February 12th, following the worship service. As a part of our congregational governance, each member of the church has a vote to help set the path for our church in 2017. Please come and be a part of this exciting time. Lunch is provided for all. The church council is in partnership with the preschool committee, has implemented new security measures to protect our buildings. This week, security cameras and doorbells will be installed at all church doors. Anyone coming here on church business is asked to use any door but the education wing doors during preschool hours. Once you ring the bell, you will be buzzed in. All doors will be unlocked on Sundays. Next Sunday, February 5th, we have an exciting second hour opportunity for the entire church family. We will have Dario Shishhorir and his family with us to do a slideshow and discussions on their travels around the world for the past 16 years on their sailboat. As climatologists, they will share their findings as well as their interactions with native inhabitants and other global issues. Child care for infants and toddlers will be provided. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Sam Stewart, and for the past 2 years, I've gone out to South Dakota over the summer on the mission trip. And whenever I mention this to anyone, they'll always ask what I do on the trip, and usually I'll say something like, I help teach summer school and play games with kids on the reservation. And they'll usually respond with something along the lines of, oh, that's so great, good for you. And then we'll move on to another topic. But what I wish people asked me is why I go out there, and I feel that's a much more important question. And the main reason I go on this trip is not because it's fun for me, even though it is a ton of fun, but because it's fun for the kids. The joy on their faces when they get off the bus in the morning and see us waiting outside the school is something I can't even describe. The love and care we give these kids makes them so happy, and in turn their enthusiasm for learning or sports or even getting piggyback rides makes us so happy. So we sort of exchange this happiness without even really meaning to, and it's the greatest thing in the world. I encourage you all to make an effort to spread kindness, spread joy, spread love, spread happiness to one another. As the great Martin Luther King Jr. once said, those who are not looking for happiness are the most likely to succeed, are most likely to find it, because those who are searching forget that the surest way to be happy is to seek happiness for others. Thank you.
I'm Lily Merchant, and I'm singing Iris today by the Goo Goo Dolls, and I chose this song just because 2016 has been a really, really long year for everyone, and this is just a really nice and simple song, basically about being yourself in front of people you love, and I've always really liked it, so yeah. Okay. And I'd give up forever to touch you, 'cause I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't wanna go home right now. And all I can taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over, I just don't want to miss you tonight. And I don't want the world to see me, 'cause I don't think that they'd understand. When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. I just want you to know who I am. And you can't fight the tears that ain't coming, or the moment of truth in your lies. When everything feels like the movies, yeah, you bleed just to know you're alive. And I don't want the world to see me, 'cause I don't think that they'd understand. When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. I just want you to know who I am. And I don't want the world to see me, want you to know who I am.
Thank you. Good morning, guys. Okay. How many of you are interested in helping people who are in need?
Okay.
How many of you know the story of the Good Samaritan? Okay. Well, a long time ago, a man was walking along a path from Jerusalem to Jericho. And then out of nowhere, he was attacked by robbers. A priest was walking down the same road, but when he saw the man, he started to walk on the other side of the road. A Levite, a member of the Hebrew tribe Levi, was also walking down the same road. He, too, passed the poor man on the other side. But when a Samaritan saw the man beaten and robbed, he stopped and helped him. He took him to an inn and told the people there to take care of him. Do you know what a Samaritan is? Well, a Samaritan was an enemy of the man who had been robbed. The man was Jewish, and they generally did not like each other. Do you know why the Samaritan helped him? Anybody?
I think because it was, like, the right thing to do.
Oh. Yeah. What? It was out of the good of his heart. He helped the man even though he was an enemy.
That's right, and you can help people in need by joining the youth group.
That's right. We help a lot of people by doing different acts of charity. Going out to South Dakota is a big trip, and we help kids there in the summer.
In church school, you also learn how to help people, how to be a good friend, and how to take care of God's earth.
There's also a junior youth group for middle schoolers. How many of you guys will join youth group when you're older? Yeah, all of you will.
All right, and now let's pray. Dear God,
come on, guys. Yeah, I know. Help us be as kind as the Good Samaritan,
and let us love and care for our neighbors
the same way we want to be cared for. Let us care
for our enemies, for we will find forgiveness in our hearts.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, go to chapel.
Thank you.
As we begin our time in prayer, please keep the following people in mind. Doug Stevenson and all the Stevenson family on the death of his mother, Lee, this past week. Deb Menick and Chelsea, Andrew and Stephanie McCarthy on the death of Mrs. Menick's mother, Dolly, this past week. Joel and Susan Kunkel and all the Kunkel family on the death of Dr. Dunkel's brother, Mark. Prayers for Louise Lancaster Keim, who has been diagnosed with tumors on her sacrum. And prayers of healing and strength for Jerry Jolette following his recent rotator cuff surgery. And let us all say a prayer of thanksgiving for all the wonderful blessings we have in our lives and remember to cherish every moment. Let us take this time in silence to offer these prayers and the prayers in our own hearts to God. Dear God, we come to you today seeking comfort. The world around us, often consumed with conflict, doesn't pause as the troubles of the world as the troubles of the people around the world rage on. But let us take this time to pause for those same people, for the obstacles that they may be facing and the pain that they may be enduring, and come together as one being. Today in our own country, our differences feel large and easily pull us apart. Help us to remember what ties us together rather than give life to what may divide us. Let us remember that God is in us all as he accepts our most honest beings. In a time of change as a nation, it is through God's love that we will find the strength to promote peace. As a community, let us look to our neighbor and ask not only for their understanding, but more importantly, their acceptance. And in doing this, find the strength to do the same for another. In the midst of the seemingly never-ending chaos, help us to look to each other for support and love. God, we ask that you help us to find the strength to lead with love, and we thank you for leading us with that same love. We thank you for the generosity and acceptance that you provide for us, and ask that you continue to be with us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Helen Keller once said, "Many persons have the wrong idea of what constitutes true happiness. It is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose." As members of this church family, we have been able to help people from right here in Bridgeport to the plains of South Dakota. There really is, in my opinion, no better sense of self-gratification than you get in helping other people. The only way this church can continue to serve the world is by our generous donations. In that spirit, our morning offering will now be received.
Sure. whatever it's worth. Put your arms around each other and love one another. It's only one life that we've got.
Please join with me in the prayer of dedication. O Lord our God, accept our gifts of devotion, recognizing the love that is alive within them. Allow us to see the magnitude of our smallest actions and use these gifts to better serve your universal purpose. Amen.
I would like to share with you a story which speaks to all of us teens, and I am sure with many of you as well. It is called An Interview with God. I dreamed I had an interview with God. So you would like to interview me? God asked. If you have the time, I said. God smiled. My time is eternity. What questions do you have in mind for me? What surprises you the most about humankind? God answered, that they get bored with childhood, that they rush to grow up, and then long to be children again. That they lose their health to make money, and then lose their money to restore their health. That by thinking anxiously about the future, they forget the present, such that they live in neither the present nor the future. That they live as though they would never die, and die as though they had never lived. God's hand took mine, and we were silent for a while. And then I asked, as a parent, what are some of life's lessons that you want your children to learn? God replied, to learn they cannot make anyone love them. All they can do is let themselves be loved. To learn that it is not good to compare themselves to others. To learn to forgive by practicing forgiveness. To learn that it only takes a few seconds to open profound wounds in those they love, and it can take many years to heal them. To learn that a rich person is not one who has the most, but is one who needs the least. To learn that there are people who love them dearly, but simply do not yet know how to express or show their feelings. To learn that two people can look at the same thing and see it differently. To learn that it is not enough that they forgive one another, but they also must forgive themselves. Thank you for your time, I said humbly. Is there anything else you would like your children to know? God smiled and said, just know that I am here, always.
Our scripture this morning comes from St. Paul's letter to Timothy, selected verses from the fourth chapter. Timothy was just a teenager when he met Paul, and after he and his family heard Paul preaching, they all converted to Christianity. Paul was so impressed with Timothy that he took him under his wing, and Timothy became the leader of the brand new churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. After Paul was imprisoned, he sent a letter to Timothy and asked him to go to the church in Thessalonica because they were having troubles understanding the divinity of Jesus, and Paul wanted Timothy to go straighten it all out. This is St. Paul's letter to his friend Timothy. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. For we know it is made acceptable by the word of God and prayer. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and specifically of all believers. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Amen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Brendan O'Brien, and being up here is quite a change for me. For the past 3 years on Youth Sunday, I've been a greeter at the front door, so this is a pretty big step up. So when Cam, Kylie, and I began to brainstorm on what aspect of church has influenced our lives the greatest, my first thought was church school. For those who do not know, I'm a sports fanatic and have been my whole life. As most young boys do in Fairfield, I played every sport that I possibly could. Little League, hockey, lacrosse, rugby, basketball. I even remember some karate in my early days. Overwhelmed by all these options, I soon began to prioritize sports over everything else. Church school on Sunday was the opposite of what I wanted to be doing. Missing a sport to get all dressed up and learn about Christianity, while I could be chopping a board in half in the dojo. What I didn't realize at the time were two things. First was that out of all the sports I played, I would only end up playing two of them in high school. And second, that I would eventually value coming to church far more than I did waking up at 6 a.m. to play ice hockey. Without a doubt, playing sports taught me many valuable lessons, but the constant exposure to such a loving environment and great role models to me at church helped me even more. As a child, when I'd walk through the chapel doors, I was greeted by a whole posse of high school shepherds who I thought were even cooler than the dads that coached me in the Little League. As a kid, it's hard to find a person to aspire to be like, but the shepherds at church were perfect role models. I found it easier to relate to someone relatively my age, and I realized someday I could become the same role model. Now that I had a goal in mind and had clear examples of who I wanted to become, I incorporated what I learned in church school into my everyday life. The most valuable lesson I learned in church school was from learning the Ten Commandments. We made these plaques that everyone took home with a reminder to use the Ten Commandments written on it. And as much as I hate to say it, sometimes in church school, we'd make crafts that were easily disposable, and I may have thrown out one or two when I got home. However, I did not throw out this plaque, and it still sits in my room to this very day. Here it is. Oh. So I kept it in my room right above my mirror, so I'd read it every morning. Soon it became my goal to implement as many commandments as I could into one day. Slowly, as years passed, I continued my tradition and became exactly the person who I aspired to be. Today, I am proud to be one of the presidents of this youth group, as well as a multi-sport varsity athlete and a soon-to-be college student. But I got to this point by putting church before my other desires. All I can say is that attending church school and using what I had learned helped me far more in life than sports. I urge parents to encourage your kids to go to church school and for your kids to follow. It is only now that I realize when my parents told me as they blow-dried my hair before church that I'll be thanking them later in life. So thank you, Mom and Dad, for showing me this great place. Thank you, Laura and Paul, and the rest of the congregation for making church what it is.
Hello, everyone. My name is Cameron Nash, and for those of you who know me, you probably know I'm a goof, and if you didn't, then you do now. Since I was little, one of my constant personality traits has been my sense of humor. Even though my timing may be off in some circumstances, I have generally realized humor is one of my best survival tools. I've made the conscious choice to not take myself too seriously. Using humor doesn't mean a lack of respect for others or somber situations, and believe me, there's definitely a time and a place to crack a joke, something I've learned the hard way. I can safely say, though, that this approach has served me well. As actor John Cleese says, laughter connects you to people. It's almost impossible to maintain any kind of distance or sense of social hierarchy when you're just howling with laughter. Laughter is a force for democracy. I find this quote particularly timely during this divisive time in our country's history. I'm not saying laughter can solve all of humanity's problems, but person by person, joke by joke, one comedy show at a time, humor is the one great equalizer. No matter one's race, culture, or religion, everybody shares the urge to laugh and enjoy life. I actually go as far to say that everyone sitting in front of me today has never complained too much about laughing. Laughter is a universal language in which we all speak. Even babies who cannot comprehend language are fluent in the language of laughter. Laughter has the power to break down barriers, open doors, and build relationships. I'm sure at one point or another, we've all heard the statistics that support the health benefits of laughter. Beyond that, the healing power is something I've seen in action, most profoundly on the youth mission trip to South Dakota. I learned about the power of laughter and its ability to form a bond. Prior to going, I had limited knowledge of this remote place and its people. I knew we were going for a worthwhile goal, but I wasn't quite sure how we were going to accomplish it or where I would fit in. Shortly after we set up our camp, the local kids began to trickle in, and it was easy to see they were hesitant of our presence. They knew little about us and our purpose being there, and we knew nothing about each of their personal backgrounds. A conversation about sports began among myself and a few kids. It wasn't long until we were joking and poking fun at everyone's favorite teams and players. This friendly conversation was just more than an exchange of words. It allowed two timid groups to unify that led to the changing of lives. Sadly, humor is a little more scarce in their lives, but it does exist, as it does everywhere, and no one is immune to it. Sometimes it just requires a little more effort to bring it forward. As visionary thinker and philosopher, Dr. Jean Houston says, at the height of laughter, the universe is flung into a kaleidoscope of new possibilities. I personally couldn't agree with anything more. When you're enveloped in the apex of laughter, trouble, doubt, sorrow, and misery seemingly don't exist for that brief moment of pure enjoyment. It reaches something special inside each and every one of us, and it binds us together. From there, anything is possible. One of the greatest lessons I've learned here at church is Jesus' message to us when he says, "I come so you may have life and have it abundantly and joyfully." As I progress into the next phase of my life, I'm sure humor and laughter will introduce me to new friends, bind us together, and help us go on to effect some positive change. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kylie Palmer. As I start my last semester of high school, I begin to prepare myself for the goodbyes I will soon have to face. Some are definitely going to be more of a challenge than others, but yet I expect them all to be difficult. In the past, I have always struggled with saying goodbye, so I don't anticipate the goodbye to the last 17 years is going to be any easier for me. When I do have to let something go, my emotions typically get the best of me, and I almost always end up in tears. This time, it is going to be different. I'm going to have to say goodbye to everything, all my familiarities, all at one time. What I have learned from all my goodbyes, though, is that they aren't forever. This church has taught me that there is a life beyond the one we are currently living in. There will come a point in time when I will cross paths again with all those goodbyes. I'm going off to college in the fall and will be saying all sorts of goodbyes when I leave. To my family, my friends, my home, my school, and of course, my church and its congregation. But I'm fortunate enough to be welcomed back with open arms whenever needed because this goodbye is not permanent. As most of you probably know, I have been a part of this church for my entire life. The lessons I have been taught are countless, and the love and the support I have received is endless. I am incredibly fortunate to have grown up in such a place. One of the many lessons this church has taught me is to find my meaning, to find what in my life matters most and gives me purpose, because in the end, that is what was most important. This church provides ample opportunities to find your meaning. It does not, however, tell you where or how to find your meaning. Unfortunately, no one can do that for us. It is something that needs to be found by ourselves. This church didn't teach me to find my meaning in helping other people. It simply guided me in the right direction. All anyone can do is lead you towards your purpose. Every year, the church provides the opportunity for all high school students to attend a mission trip in the summer. I have been on these mission trips since I was 5 years old, tagging along with my brothers and sister when my parents went as advisors. At that age, mission trips didn't mean much to me. It was just another thing that I had to do over the summer. And honestly, I didn't realize it until this past summer what the mission trips truly meant to me. As I mentioned, saying goodbye is tough for me because I get attached too easily. So it was no surprise that I ran into this problem last summer on the mission trip. I had created a special bond with a young Lakota boy. His name was Tyler. Tyler was a 7-year-old boy with the size and intellect of a 4-year-old. He lived the typical life of a young boy on the reservation. His parents were in jail, and he lived with his grandmother. He would come to school with the same shorts from the day before. However, none of his home life took away from the fun, energetic, and loving young boy that he was. The bond we created was almost instantaneous. He never left my side until the day came to say goodbye and when all my fears came to the surface. I didn't know if the next year when we returned, he would still be there. I was scared of the future and what that held for him, making this goodbye incredibly difficult. However, my fears were taken away during a recent youth group. We arranged bags with goodies and cards inside for all the kids at Red Shirt Table. I was filled with joy and relief to see Tyler's name on the list, knowing that he was okay. I wrote him a card telling him that I couldn't wait to see him next summer and to keep doing his best in school. Then last week, Laura was visiting the reservation and texted me saying that Tyler got my card and loved it. I was amazed and pleased to know that he had remembered me and that it had such an impact on his life as he had on one on mine. These yearly mission trips were all about the impact you leave behind. It's not solely a time to bond with the youth in this congregation or to teach kids how to add and subtract. It is more so about the love, hope, and memories that we provide the less fortunate with that could last a lifetime. This church has taught me to love, to cherish, and to find a purpose. I found all these things in my experience with Tyler. I learned that goodbyes are supposed to be hard because not even the simplest things in life come easy. But the pain that it endures only brings to life the lessons that I've been taught by this church. From a goodbye, I learn what in my life I love, what in my life I cherish, and what in my life gives me meaning. And with this new knowledge, I have the ability to pass it on to someone else and live a complete life. Thank you.
Thank you. you want to say anything? I was like, so much. I want to say so much. But I said, I'm going to say one thing, and that is, I love you so, so much. You guys are amazing.
And now I want to say, I am overflowing. And I know when I say these things that I truly am speaking for everyone here. Because if you take a moment, it was a huge gift to be able to, for one thing, look at you and to see in your eyes and to see the different times when you were looking out in the congregation and absorbing what was happening in terms of your connection with them, of their connection with you, and what it means truly to be part of something greater. And then if you just take a moment and if you look at the congregation, your family, your friends, and look at the eyes and see what's happening, right? And what's happening in seeing the tears and seeing the smiles and just feeling this connection of love. As I was sitting there in the pew, I'm just experiencing it of this is faith. This is what our faith is about. And as you were speaking, the three of you, all of you, you know, taking your different parts, something that just bubbled up was, you know, in 1 Corinthians says, faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. And what I experienced, and thank you so much from all of us, is this experience of faith and hope and love. And when you speak, it wakes that up in me. It wakes that up in each one of us, right? And makes us realize that we are blessed, that we're all connected with the Spirit of God. And having seen you and known you since you were first born into the world, some of you, and seeing how you're growing up and, you know, when it comes time to come down, you know, knowing you were a baby and then now you're leading other people, right? What a powerful experience that is. And how wise you are to, with all of the different options that you've had in your lives, how wise you are to have taken your life and to have invested in what you have invested here, because that's forever. How wise you are as parents and as a congregation to have invested yourselves into bringing them here. How wise you are as people who support to take your time out of a Sunday morning to come here, because it makes this kind of value and meaning and change in life, in their lives, in your lives, in my life. So simply, I love you. God bless you. Thank you. To be continued, right? As we all go from this place together into our lives, may we take this experience, this feeling that we feel right here and right now, and take that and have that seed in the midst of all of the craziness of the world, all the divisions, all of the angst. May we take this. This is sanctuary. This is faith. This is hope. This is love. And have that embed deeply in our hearts and souls. And as we do, may God bless you and keep you. And may God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift his countenance upon you now and forever and ever and ever and give you that peace, that strength, that love, that faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.